Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, July 27th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Larry, I told you to take that thing to a professional. You'll save money in the long run.
I'm not Larry, but I am that professional. Why, I'm your host, ma'am, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. We're back with the oh-so-charming pinup artist, Christoph Nemeth, for the conclusion of our chat. And we pick up right where we left off last week. But wait, did you somehow miss part one of this interview? Shame on you. But not to worry. Look for last week's podcast number 139 on Dr. Dick's podcast page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Or simply use my site's search function. Type in podcast number 139. And don't forget the pound sign. Christoph returns as part of the Erotic Mind podcast series, which brings you the thoughts and erotic artwork of celebrated artists from all over the world. Throughout this series, we've been uncovering quite a bit about the creative process involved in this specialized art form. Be it literary or visual erotic art, all reflect the irrepressible spirit of the human sexual experience.
This is big. Mm-hmm. This is really big.
You bet it's big. And not in that way, you pervert. Listen, I invite you to discover Christoph and his memorable artwork on his site, charm-school.com. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right there from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, on with the show. Christoph, welcome back, and thank you for joining us again this week. I'm so happy that we are able to make this opportunity to continue our conversation, and I'd like to pick up exactly where we left off last week. Let's talk about art and culture. Defining erotic art is difficult because perceptions of both what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture. Do you share this perception? And if you do, would you care to elaborate?
Very much so.
Okay.
And I think that, I mean, every decade we see changes in fashion and style and aesthetic value. And, I mean, you know, it even happens yearly. Right, and we as humans crave new and different, and that doesn't necessarily mean completely innovative.
Right,
it just means something that we just didn't see last week.
Right,
and I think that that's why we see a lot of recycling of ideas and values and aesthetics. I mean, using the fashion world as a real gauge of what people find valuable as far as presentation of personality and what's attractive. And of course, there's been debates for decades of, you know, is that healthy or unhealthy that we look to that as, you know, a standard. But I don't think I'm not saying let's look at it as a standard. What I'm saying is look at it as an example of how things change as far as what we appreciate. Not only that, but I think that subculturally, within different communities where there is a shared viewpoint of an aesthetic, that's different, right? We see it in both mainstream and underground culture, in both gay and straight culture. Mm-hmm. And we...
They influence one another.
They certainly do.
Like it or not.
Yeah. No, and I think that we should like it, and I think that denying it in any manner is really short-sighted. So I think it just comes down to the human nature needing and craving to have variety, yeah, and to have different ways of looking at things. And I think unless you know, you really just are kind of like don't have any appreciation for the way human beings are, then you know, you recognize that.
Right. Well, you know, I was thinking about like the mid-century last, you know, the Betty Page phenomenon, for example.
Right.
When she was in her heyday, you know, her stuff was very prurient. I mean, that was considered pornographic by the vast majority. And now it's sweet and it's charming and it's cute and it's clever, and it's been integrated into the popular culture to the point where, you know, I mean, the resurgence of, you know, the whole burlesque movement, which is having an efflorescence now that, you know, it hasn't had since probably the 50s. It's a very curious kind of thing to me. So what is once prurient and, you know, pornographic is now, you know, charming and delightful.
Exactly. Well, and I think that it also comes back to the fact that I think that stylistically, I mean, I was actually just having a conversation with somebody about this within another genre, which was this idea of what punk rock music represents. It's like at the time it was scary and loud and ugly, but if you go back and you listen to those Ramones or Sex Pistols or even, you know, the Misfits, I mean, these are just pop songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once you're past the shock of the new, and it's not so disruptive, you're kind of like, oh yeah, you know what? That's really not that offensive,
right?
You know, and I think what art needs to do is, and I shouldn't just limit it to art. What I should say is human expression needs to be able to rally against what's considered normal,
right,
to be able to make an impact. You know, and I think that we see these points in history where in art or culture there's some shift or change or upheaval that refocuses what we feel is right or wrong or good or bad. And, you know, that's just the development of humanity.
Exactly. So you make an interesting comment about your work on your site. You say, Christoph's art is always flirty, never dirty. And this is an excellent segue, if you don't mind, to discuss my next point, which is the distinction that is often made between erotic art and pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Both depict body, sensuality, sexuality, sometimes even lovemaking, but there is a fundamental difference between the two art forms. I suspect that you also agree?
I do, actually, and this has been something that has again been a topic of conversation between myself and other artists, both erotic and not.
Mm-hmm.
I think the conclusion that I've come to and is that what pornography is representing is basically what you're seeing is this. The base act of fornication.
Mm-hmm.
And fornication in any regard, there is appendage A inserted into orifice B, you know, and it's very, well, for lack of a better term, it's very brutal in that regard.
Yeah.
It's, we are showing people fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hot. That's a turn on. But the idea there is, when you're watching it, you're basically the whole purpose of that is, you know, to excite someone to the point of, you know, however they get off, right?
Right, exactly.
But what erotica is presenting is a sustainment of that moment of pre-getting off,
mm-hmm.
where the exploration...
The arousal.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the suspension of satisfaction.
Right.
How where you are mulling over in your head how you feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's being turned on, but exploring in your mind why it turns you on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's less about the need to get off and more about the need to understand why you want to get off.
Your stuff is a whole lot more seductive as opposed to graphic.
Right.
This is something very interesting to me, and this is one of the reasons why I was so enthusiastic about chatting with you for this series, is that you seem to go out of your way, and we talked about this a little bit last week, that you go out of your way to, you know, present all of your depictions with clothes on. I mean, they're scanty,
right.
they're, you know, seductive, they're sensual and all that kind of stuff. But you would never see a nipple, let alone a pussy. And
right.
so, where you seem to be on one end of the spectrum, there's a lot of other graphic artists and that are on the other end, and their whole intention is to push the envelope. I mean, how graphic and challenging can I make my depictions?
Right. Well, that's a very good point. And I will kind of defend myself here for a moment.
Oh, no, no need to defend. On the contrary.
Well, no, actually what I was going to say is that I have actually drawn a few pussies.
And
I think that the...
are they the cat variety or what?
No. For the Seattle Erotic Art Festival a couple of years ago, I did a series of drawings that was based on the Georges Bataille novel, The Story of the Eye,
yes.
and which is one of my absolute favorite books of all time and very influential mm-hmm. to me as not only a person but as an artist.
Right.
And I actually broke my own rule and drew naughty bits.
Uh-huh.
And I think that for that particular purpose, because of the theme and the presentation of what I was depicting, mm-hmm. it was necessary. But I was able to do it in a manner that was tasteful and imaginative,
yes.
and not overly... overly graphic.
So and you did it the Christoph way, in other
exactly,
words.
Exactly. And in the past, I've also done lots of private commissions that
yes.
show a lot more graphic
right.
things.
Right.
But that's not what I want to present to
right.
the world as my own personal work.
Right.
So getting back to your original question, I do this because I consider myself a traditionalist
right.
in the pinup realm,
yeah.
and B, I think that it is much more seductive that the audience, the viewer, even myself looking at it,
exactly.
has to imagine what those parts are.
Yeah.
You don't when you're walking down the street and you see somebody who's dressed in a certain manner, you're obviously not going to walk up to them and say, you know what, I want to see everything about you right now, take off all your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that person presents themselves that entices you to imagine what they would be like in a different manner.
Right.
And that's the same way with my artwork. I want someone to look at my drawings and imagine that, to create a story in their own mind about
exactly.
what that person
exactly.
looks like underneath.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, the more seductive can be so much more sexually enticing than, you know, the really obvious.
Well, and that to that point, that's really the definition of the difference between erotica and pornography.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, I am conducting in my own mind what the sexual nature is
right.
here,
right.
and what I'm bringing to it from this interplay. If somebody is dressing seductively, well, they you know what? They're asking you or suggesting to you the potential.
Yeah.
And it's that potential that leads our imaginations down the path that they go. And it's why that stuff is a turn on.
Right, exactly. Is it possible for you as an artist to eroticize something that you personally don't find particularly sexy?
Yes. And I've not only had this same conversation before with people, but the notion of being presented with a project to create something that isn't necessarily my bag, but you know what? Someone's coming to me because they want not only my take on it, but it means enough to them to want to create something substantial of it. I've done drawings of things that I'm not into sexually or don't find particularly even appealing to my particular aesthetic. But at those points and times, I look at that as a challenge, not only to myself as an artist, but as a person.
Right.
If I can look at this and say, you know what, this isn't what I'm into, but I really appreciate what the spirit behind this is as a point of sexual expression. You know what, I have to honor that, and I respect that as a human being. And it's I think a good point to this is that even though I'm not a gay man, it's not going to keep me from going to the Pride Parade because that's, again, it's celebrating and accepting.
Sexual freedom, absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's how I want to live as a person. And, you know, I'm right there with them.
Yeah. And you know, nowadays it's like St. Patrick's Day parade. I mean, you don't have to be Irish. You know?
You know what? You know what? And not only is that a great thing, but to be able to see that in our society these days is amazing. I was at a coffee shop this morning here in Lawrence, and there was a magazine on the rack that was the Visitor's Guide to the Pride Parade in Wichita, Kansas.
No fucking kidding.
Yeah,
holy
I mean
cow.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, and even here in Lawrence, Kansas, I mean there's such a really great celebration of all different sexualities and you know the appreciation and tolerance. And you know what, that's the way it should be. And so that's the way I was raised, that's the way I understand and the way that I treat other people in my life, and it's like, you know what, I've drawn done commissions for people who of all different sexual orientations. They just like the playfulness and the spirit of what I bring to my work, and you know what? I have no problem doing that.
So I have a bunch of friends that I was talking to in anticipation of our conversation, and all of them really love your work, and all of them
great.
Are gay men, and they all asked me to make sure that I ask you, do you do pin-up boys as well as pin-up girls?
Yes, and that's the case.
Yay!
Now, I will say that there are artists out there that would do it much better than myself, including my someone I consider a good friend is Drub, who is also at the he's been at the Seattle Erotic Art Festival almost every year, I think. And he and I have often joked together that we do the exact same thing, only for different audiences. I think the respect for other people's ideas and aesthetics and appreciations of sexuality is important because at the end of the day, it's all about the common ground is the spirit of sexual expression and excitement and freedom. And I have no problem drawing boys. I mean,
It's a different thing. It would be much more challenging, or at least a different take on things. I mean, the whole physiology kind of stuff is.
Yeah, you know, you have to draw. Well, you're drawing a different body type.
Yeah.
But I think what the challenge there is if I can have people of other of different sexual orientations see the value of what I do in my work, then that means that it really is universal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually have a lot of gay and lesbian fans of my work.
Yeah.
For the same reason you would see people of different sexual orientations at a burlesque performance.
Precisely.
Or, you know, because of the fact that these performers are expressing in this very larger than life manner.
Right.
And in a beautiful manner. And, you know, I've seen some amazing boylesque performances.
Absolutely.
In Seattle, in New York, where these gentlemen bring something to the genre that is decidedly masculine and amazingly male, but it
stays within, you know, the confines of burlesque.
Absolutely. Totally. And so, yeah, I mean, the appreciation's all the same. It's just the subject matter. And yeah, I mean, it's not where I go as far as what I'm into,
mm-hmm.
as far as the my own sexual practices, but that does not mean that the appreciation and respect for others and even what I even understand of how those things are beautiful comes to be. So,
and I think that's what I'm hearing from my audience as well. You know, that they're appreciating these presentations from artists, some of them who do work that is not, you know, reflective of their own sexual practices, but they certainly appreciate them as legitimate and good and artists
right.
in their own right. So,
well,
I mean, that's what it's all about.
Exactly. And I think ultimately art, real art, and if it's going to be making the impact that it does, transcends the genre. So while we can go to a museum, or we can go to the Seattle Erotic Art Festival or the Dirty Detroit Show, and if we see something that is amazingly crafted or extremely emotional or evocative, it doesn't matter what the subject matter particularly is.
Exactly.
It just matters that something has transcended what that is and made me appreciate it. That right there is the essence of true art.
So let me ask you, as we conclude, one final question.
Sure.
I know that you must be hit up for this all the time, but do you have any advice for aspiring erotic artists or illustrators?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think that the last point I made about how your work, the worth of your work, I actually believe is measured in how it does transcend the genre. Because I think that a lot of people say, well, I'm going to draw dirty pictures, and that's going to kind of legitimize me as an artist. And you know what? The thing is, it's not even an erotic art. It's in any genre. They feel
so
like
true.
If I just throw the trappings of what this genre right. has together, then that makes me a legitimate artist. And I don't think that that's the case. It really does have to transcend the genre that you're presenting in to be. I mean, I'm not saying that every piece has to do that. I'm just saying that that should be kind of the ultimate guidepost and goal. As far as practical advice, I think that it's really important to see and watch and observe what other successful artists in that field are doing. And I think it's really important to not walk into any situation and feel like you deserve or are entitled to some kind of special treatment because you're either a genre artist or you're a particular kind of artist. You know what? It with anything, with any craft, you have to pay your dues. You have to kind of make the connections that you need to make. You need to understand your audience. And most importantly, you have to find your own voice. Mm-hmm. You have to find the thing that is authentic to you to bring out and express in your work. Because otherwise it's going to, you know, you're just kind of, it's just really easy to just kind of hash out the same kind of thing that, you know, a bunch of other artists are doing.
Right.
You know, unless an audience can recognize within you and your work an individual voice, and sometimes it takes a while to craft. I mean, I didn't start doing the pinup art until I was 25. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I've been doing this for 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's now gotten to the point where, you know what, my work is recognizable enough that people can see, can spot it a mile away. Mm-hmm. And you know what, it takes patience, it takes dedication to the craft, it takes knowing your audience, and it takes knowing what you want to say to the world.
Right. And with that, sir, I'm afraid that we have run out of time. But there's just a bit more time left for you to give us your website address and walk us around.
Sure. www.charm-school.com. And you can also find me on myspace.com/Krystof, KRYSZTOF. And I also have a Facebook fan page.
Yay. We're a fan of, don't you know?
Yes, yes. It's actually pretty much brand new. I launched it with the relaunch of my site a couple of weeks ago, and we've got over 300 fans just from people spreading the word, so that's really great. So if you go to Facebook and just do a search for Pinup Art of Krystof Nemeth, you should be able to find it there. And at my site, you'll be able to see a large gallery of my artwork, as well as an online store where you can buy t-shirts, stickers, buttons, and either pint glasses or shot glasses with my designs on them. And it's kind of the gateway into the world of Krystof there.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Of your precious time. It's been very enlightening, and you certainly are an original, and you have fleshed out this Erotic Mind series immeasurably. Now, if you don't mind, if you could get back to work, we'd really appreciate it.
You know what? As soon as I'm off the phone, I'm going to be actually working on something new. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful summer, and we'll be seeing you in cyberspace.
Sounds great.
Bye now. Hey, fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. And remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh?
The morning consumption of mass quantities. Grid-like breakfast slabs, extruded mammal tailings, seared strips of swine flesh, and flattened chicken embryos. I will enjoy it.
That sounds delicious for sure. One more thing before we conclude. I want to make sure that you know about my new product review site, Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews. .com. That's right, sex fans. Now you'll be able to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I and the Dr. Dick Review crew review all kinds of adult-related goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms and lubes and fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Look for DrDickSexToyReview.com. You'll be so glad you did. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health Subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.